In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Yes, indeed. Time to talk movies. Alan Adams of The Main Edge here on Pass the Popcorn. Brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, Stillwater Avenue in Bangor, where they have a film for everybody in the family. Alan, good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Sorry I missed you last Wednesday.
Yeah, and you're still playing hurt a little
bit.
Yeah,
no, it's crazy. It's been a while since I had something that lingered like this, but I've got some sinus stuff happening. And I missed on. I wasn't going to miss two shows in a row. I'm not going to do that. So
I'm sure this weather helps too.
Oh yeah, like it's just delightful to just be the crushing damp. It's just like, oh yeah, no, this makes me feel a lot better about things.
Well, when you're feeling not so great, what's better than checking out some movies? You saw what, 11, 12 this weekend?
I got to a bunch this weekend. It was really circumstances led to me being able to see a bunch of stuff. So where would you like to start?
Oh, gosh. Anywhere. You take us on a tour.
Okay. Well, we'll start with our two movie theater experiences. We'll start with that because both of these movies were not very good. The first one we'll talk about is the horror movie Countdown. I don't know how familiar you are with Countdown, if you've seen any of the trailers
or whatever. Yes.
But for those of you out there who maybe don't watch television and haven't been subjected to this film, it's essentially a horror movie that involves an app that tells you when you're going to die. That's what we got. And we've got a bunch of idiot teenagers doing idiot teenager stuff at a party. And I know that at all the teenage parties I went to when I was a teenager, we just sat around and downloaded apps.
Yes,
because I'm pretty sure that's what the kids are doing these days.
And obsessed about death.
That's right. So a bunch of these kids download the app, and most of them have these huge numbers. It's like, oh, you're going to die in like 83 years or whatever. But then there are these two who get you're going to die in like 2 hours.
Wow.
And they're like, oh, well, that's not great.
I would delete.
Yes, it's a boyfriend-girlfriend situation.
Oh, even worse.
The boyfriend, super drunk, and the party comes to an end, and he's like, he's going to drive her home.
And, well, I think we know where this is going.
She's like, you know what? I can't, like, you're drunk. I'm not gonna get in a car with you. And so she gets out of the car, and she's like, I'm just going to walk home. And then she gets a push notification telling her that she has violated the terms of service of the Countdown app. Basically what happens when you violate the terms of service is, whenever you, try to get out of your destiny, the big, scary monster comes and takes care of business.
Oh dear.
And so, we get to watch her, get brutally killed in her own bathroom.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, there.
At the same time that her drunk boyfriend goes off the road and crashes into a tree where a giant branch, hits precisely where she would have been sitting, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it's a teched up version of like Final Destination.
Yes, that's
sort
what
of
it sounds
thing.
Like, yeah.
Except not as clever as those movies. And so we go from there. There's a young nurse who's a nurse in training. She's just passed her test. She's working at this hospital. And one of her patients is the aforementioned boyfriend who needs to get surgery on his leg, but his phone is still counting down. And so he's like, well, I'm clearly going to die in the surgery. And so he tries to run away and then winds up getting pushed down the stairs by the aforementioned scary monster. The nurse, concerned for his mental well-being, is like, well, I should find out what this app thing is all about. And you can probably see where this is going. She gets a very short countdown, and so she has to frantically try to figure out how to escape the curse of the Countdown app before the clock hits zero. And in doing so, she enlists the help of her little sister and another guy who inadvertently downloaded the Countdown app, and in maybe the best part of the entire movie, friend of downtown PJ Byrne as a weirdo demon obsessed priest who is the one they go to help find out what is, if there's any way for them to break the curse. He has a couple of great scenes, and it's just one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, right on. Like, and he's clearly having fun, and and the rest of these idiots, it's like, whatever. But yeah. So here's the thing. Yeah. Don't go see Countdown. I'm going to just leave it at that. It's like, it's boring and dumb, and it's full of people making bad decisions. Not even bad decisions, just you know, illogical decisions. And eventually, it's just like you're kind of like, well, I mean, is there any way we can, you know, speed this up? I'd like the countdown to arrive so I can go home. So countdown. Yeah, that's a you can go ahead and pass on that one.
All right. There's number one. What else did you see at the theater?
So I went to see a movie called Black and Blue, which is this sort of a cop thriller. It stars Naomi Harris and Tyrese Gibson. Naomi Harris plays a rookie police officer in the New Orleans Police Department. Hey, shout out to New Orleans, Carrie. And so she's learning the ropes, and she's, you know, got a partner who she likes, but there are some of the other cops who are, you know, maybe getting up to some shady business. And at one point, she winds up taking an overnight shift and riding along with a different police officer who gets a mysterious call that draws them to an abandoned warehouse in the middle of nowhere, where he tells her to stay in the car. So she's like, okay, I'll stay in the car. And then there are gunshots. And she's like, what's going on? She goes in, and she's there to just in time to see one of the narcotics detectives, played by Frank Grillo, who makes a living playing these kinds of crooked cops, just straight up murder a dude. Just shoots the crap out of him. And, you know, so she sees this, and she's got her body camera on.
Oh.
And so there's video evidence. They try to shoot her, but she's wearing a vest, and so she's, you know, she survives the gunshots, and then she has to run away. And it soon becomes clear that she's not sure which of her brethren she can trust in the police department. Mm. There are a lot of dirty cops on the force. And so she's left to try and reconnect with her roots because, you know, she's from here, but she's been gone for many years. So she has to come back and try to reconnect with some of the people she knew in the past, including Miles, the store operator that's played by Tyrese, who reluctantly agrees to help her try and get this body camera footage back to the precinct so they can upload it and take down, you know, Frank Grillo and all the other dirty cops. It's not as dumb as Countdown, but it's still pretty dumb.
That's a low bar, though.
It's still pretty dumb. Again, it's one of these movies that is, I think, wants to say something, maybe, but is going about it all wrong. I made the joke, and it's maybe it's inappropriate, that the title, Black and Blue, the subtitle should be The Lives That Matter. Because it's that it gets that sort of ham-handed messagey stuff going in the last quarter or so, and it's just like go one way or the other. But it's funny because it's actually a pretty talented cast, but unfortunately there's not a lot there, and so I just spent the majority of my time I checked my watch half a dozen times. That's not what you want
when you're at the
movies. I'm not supposed to want to know what time it is. But yes, I desperately wanted to know because I needed to get out of there.
Alan Adams with us here on Downtown Past the Popcorn talking movies. Now that you are a big time certified fresh Rotten Tomatoes film reviewer, you also get some of the perks.
That's right. So I was telling you off air, I've been receiving links to screener copies of movies for a little while now, mostly indie stuff, you know, people trying to get the word out. But I recently received my first ever studio screener. And for this was the movie The Current War, the director's cut, which is there's a whole story behind this movie. It's actually kind of crazy. It first made the festival circuit in 2017. You know, premiered, I think, at Toronto. It was its original release date was set to be November of 2017, it was aligned pretty heavily with Harvey Weinstein, who, in November of 2017, was dealing with some stuff.
Yeah, apparently, yes.
They pulled it from distribution. The director went back the next year and wanted to do some reshoots and cut down the runtime a little bit, but they had to do some negotiation because as part of his executive producer deal, Martin Scorsese actually had right to final cut. And so they had to talk talk that through and all this stuff. So there's this just meandering journey for this movie to finally make it to theaters. And it went into expanded release this past weekend. It's, I think, at like 1,000 screens or something like that. I don't know how much farther it's going to expand. But yeah, it's basically based on the real story of Thomas Edison and George Westinghouse and their battle between, which type of electrical current was going to be the one that powered our country.
Mm.
Edison was a proponent of direct current, which was, more expensive and had a shorter range, whereas Westinghouse was a proponent of alternating current, which allowed for a lot more distance and stuff, but there were also some dangers associated with it. And it was basically the conflict between these two men over the course of like 15 years, trying to figure out whose system would win out.
And Malcolm and Angus Young, of course, preferred both.
Of course. And so you've got Edison, played by Benedict.
Sorry, that was too easy.
No, that's solid. That's solid. Benedict Cumberbatch plays Thomas Edison. Michael Shannon plays George Westinghouse. And it's basically... starts in about 1880 and runs up through the climactic event is the Chicago World's Fair in 1893, where the sort of the electric light was going to be revealed basically to the world. Mm. And it was sort of viewed as, whoever won the bid to do the World's Fair was going to win the current war, as it were. And so over the course of the decade, these guys go back and forth, each trying to make their case for their own system. Along the way, Nikola Tesla shows up, played by Nicholas Hoult. He works for Edison for a while before getting fired, winding up with Westinghouse, and who was able to utilize Tesla's admittedly eccentric genius to expand upon the possibilities of alternating current. And, we're watching as they deal with, family issues and tragedies and all this stuff as they desperately try to come out on top. Some other great performers, Catherine Waterston is in this, who is great. Tom Holland plays Edison's secretary. It's a phenomenal cast. And they really do a wonderful job of putting together. It's a biopic, but it's not like really any biopic you've seen before, like just in terms of the look of the thing. It's an oddly chosen aesthetic. It's very, very rich, very sumptuous, a lot of unconventional camera angles and different shots that you don't necessarily see. You wouldn't expect in this sort of like historical period drama, mm-hmm. Which makes it a lot more interesting, I think, to watch because there are so many of these. Not even they're certainly not bad choices. They're just not choices you would expect. And so to see that happening in a movie like this that could have been so easily made very dry and straightforward, which having not seen the original, like maybe that was part of the problem,
right?
From the get go. But I will say everything I've seen is that this new cut is a marked improvement over the original, which is great because. The movie I saw was actually quite good, and I would have to imagine that there were some pretty serious problems with it that have been fixed in the interim, because I didn't have any faults with it, certainly not any big ones. The performances are great. Cumberbatch is good. I love Michael Shannon.
Yeah,
like
he's awesome.
Like he's so good. He plays it more or less straight in this one, but there's always that vague sense of menacing weirdo with him that you can't really escape. The supporting cast, Hoult, he's fine as Tesla. I'm not entirely sure where his accent was supposed to be from. It was this sort of vaguely like Slavic Eastern European kind of thing.
Boris Badenov.
Yeah, a little bit, but it worked. And the rest of the cast was really quite exceptional. But like I said, it's a movie that it's not the kind of movie that I expected it to be. And that's a good thing. I think it was really just quite a pleasure to watch. And I hope that, local moviegoers are going to get the opportunity to see it on the big screen.
Nice. That's not all though. You saw a quartet of films this week, including what, some people are saying might be the best thing Eddie Murphy has done in quite a while.
Yeah. I got to watch this one at home. Dolomite Is My Name by where Eddie Murphy plays the infamous Rudy Ray Moore, star of 70s blaxploitation classic Dolomite. And yeah, Rich, I gotta tell you, it's a phenomenal movie. As someone who holds that era of film near and dear to his heart, it was really fascinating to see that sort of story, the story of the making of Dolomite, like sort of brought to the screen, because it's not just the making of Dolomite the movie, but it's also the making of Dolomite the character, which is the making of Rudy Ray Moore the success story. Mm. You know, because he's a guy who tried everything in the world of entertainment. Like he tried to be a singer, he tried to be a stand-up comedian, he tried all of these things, and was only able to find success when he created this character of Dolomite, you know, and made records and toured the country, and then decided, you know what, I'm gonna make a movie. And then he did. Like, that's the thing. Like it was just him and his friends. Nobody had any sort of experience or anything like that. And they just were like, you know what? Let's do this. And anyone who's seen Dolomite, you understand that it is very much the product of amateurs. But there's an undeniable magnetism to it regardless. And watching that sort of play out as rendered by Eddie Murphy, was really, just a phenomenal time. And the cast is fantastic. Wesley Snipes is here, Craig Robinson, Mike Epps, just a great collection of talent, all telling the story of this dude who, like, I mean, you want to talk about the American dream? Like, that's a dude who, like, lived it, you know? And it's really funny, and it's, you know, there's some real pathos to it. And yeah, I honestly don't remember the last time I saw Eddie Murphy this good in anything.
And does it remind you that he's got a lot of talent, but just for whatever reason, chooses to go a different route with things?
You know, and it's like, but you know, he hasn't, I mean, this is the first movie he's made in years, you know? And so for him to come out swinging like this, it's just, it's just really, it's really impressive. It's a really phenomenal performance, and one that, like, I've heard rumblings that, you know, it's the sort of performance that might get him some recognition come award season time. I would have no problem with that, because he's really, really great.
Now, is it on demand or is it streaming?
It's Netflix. Yeah. Oh, okay. It's a Netflix Netflix original. They did a theatrical release, I want to say just a couple of weeks ago, as Netflix and these other streaming services are trying to get themselves into the conversation for the big awards.
Right.
And to do that, you need to have the theatrical release. Yep. And they've done a really great job of finding ways to do that with movies like this. The Irishman, Scorsese's new one, which is coming down the pike sooner rather than later. You know, like, those are the sorts of movies. That's the next step for them. And the idea that Eddie Murphy is starring in a prestige picture on Netflix about Rudy Ray Moore just blows my mind. Something like this would have been unimaginable even 5 years ago. And it's remarkable how quickly and exponentially the industry is changing. And I think for the most part, it's for the better, but we'll have to wait and see, because, you know, some of these conglomerates, you know, the bigger isn't always better, so we'll have to see how it goes.
Well, no, and while we've got a moment or two here, the news not encouraging over the weekend, you probably saw on Disney, and what they're doing with all or many of the films that were in the Fox archive that they purchased, that they're basically tucking away now for nobody to see in a theater again for a while.
Yeah, it's funny, because, like, that's always been the Disney model to create scarcity. And it's worked wonderfully for them in the past. I have to think that in this new age, like, that's the wrong move. Like, you know, it's, you know, we're in a world where there's so much content and so much new content coming every day. It's not about building anticipation. You put these away, people are going to forget.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, unless their plan is to just make them part of their streaming service.
Right. And if that's the case, that's the smart move. And I hope that's what they do, because that's finding ways to you know, incentivize that, you know, that service. I mean, you've already got, you know, Star Wars and Marvel, so you're well on your way. Yeah. But yeah, like, the more the merrier when it comes to stuff like that. And when you've got a library that massive, you know, it's, I just, it's heartbreaking to think of some of the movies that, you know, that some people just are never going to get a chance to see, right, if that's the case.
Alan Adams talking movies with us here on Downtown. Alan, thanks. Glad you're feeling well enough to be here. Hope you're even better come Wednesday.
Yeah, fingers crossed, right?
All right. Thanks, Al.
Thank you.